Blog Talk Radio. This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm your host, Ken Burrow. We've had some technical glitches this morning, and I'm praying real hard that when I say hello to Evangelist Edward Franklin Emerly, that I'm going to get a response. Good morning, Ed. Are you there?
Good morning. I'm here. I'm here, my brother.
I can barely hear you.
Pardon me? Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, I have it on speaker.
There you go. Now I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
thank you, Jesus.
Pardon me?
I said, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen to that. I'll tell you, I've seen this happen. I've seen when I'm doing a program before, there were 7 drops in there. So the enemy doesn't like me online.
I noticed that.
That's why I asked you. Yes, amen. But the Lord's always come through with it, you know, in spite of everything. That's why, you know, a lot of times I need to request more prayer for people to be praying for me, but not just when I'm on the line, but to get on the line, you know.
I don't know what went wrong, but I worked as hard as I could to just put up a live broadcast now. And now it's working. Thank you, Jesus. Unfortunately,
amen.
doesn't have your bio and all that other stuff up there right now, but we don't need that. What we need is to hear you expound on the Word of God. I've been reading a lot of your posts lately, and brother, you're just on fire and spot on. I started reading that stuff. I get excited. I was like, come on now. Let's hear it, Ed. Tell it like it is, brother.
Yes, the Lord has just put that in my heart. You know, the time that I've preached about and taught for years that we've all done, preached and taught about for the time of being this day and hour, and in fact, through Jewish roots, and also right now, we are in that season where everything's increasing. As a matter of fact, I had something to really bring some light on it. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in, there'll be a comment after, when he comes in, like a flood, you know, God raised to stand up against him. Well, we have seen hell hit this past several months in ways that we never saw before, and I never even dreamed of, to be honest with you. But, you know, Satan has shown his stuff, as they would say. But God has shown what he is and who he is now in ways that he is raising us all up in his remnant army to do things that we never even heard of before. And in fact, he gave me a scripture. 1:5 years ago, he said that we wouldn't even believe what's going to happen this day if he told us. He spoke that to me through the man who's the head elder for Moore Cirillo when I was there working a while. And to make a long story short, that season is right now. That season is right now, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. My spirit is just no time like this.
You are absolutely correct, sir. I am personally seeing amazing things, amazing things, and I'm blessed that God has put me in a healing ministry.
Yeah,
but even that has changed. I can't tell you. One of the things I've been seeing, Ed, is I can call someone to pray for them, and they get healed before they answer the phone. People are getting healed without one word of prayer being spoken. It happened twice this morning on the Roku TV show that I'm on. It happened on Tuesday for the healing prayer room that I do. And I talked to at least 3 women this past week that they got healed without me saying one word of prayer. And that blows me away. I know the Bible says he'll answer before we call, but he's doing it's amazing to me. I'm astounded. You know?
It is. Well, you know, it's the suddenlies are happening, the suddenlies and the unexpected. I get it in calls all over the world, and I've been seeing, like you say, I have a healing miracle ministry also that Lord had put me in many years ago, and it's accelerating to a realm. I'm getting calls from people I don't know. People with certain needs are seeing God do deliverances. People are delivered from demonic activity and turned into factors. One young man just recently, the Lord used to deliver this young man, 11 years old, and they brought him to our home, and he was really a major situation, but the Spirit of God, like there was nothing to it, delivered him. And if you'd see this young man's face now, like an angel, and he brought a word to all of us, really to teach us all something. You know, a lot of people, we've all said in faith believing, but he corrected his mother on that. He said, no, he said, we do believe, but it says it's about receiving, claiming it. So it's in faith receiving. It's not in faith believing. Because if we have faith, we actually believe it. So we are in faith receiving what we're claiming by the word. He gave her that that revelation right there, the word, the little 11-year-old boy that was delivered, and it just amazed me because that's so true what he said.
Yes. Well, out of the mouth of babes, you know, I've noticed that God is using young children and old people a lot in this season. And I'm right about the old person thing.
I won't comment on that, but you know, Moses started, and also Joshua started out at 85, and you know, I believe something. You know, over the years, personally, Lord used me over the years in many things, but I really believe that my main time is now, in this time. I really believe as an older person, because He has collected a lot of us. Older people, just what you said, for this very hour. And young people, I mean, it's amazing. This is a prophetic word that this young man said, and we're out of the mouth of babes, you know. 38 years ago, the Lord spoke to me about this hour, and I knew nothing about it. I just believed it in my heart. And through prophecy in the realm of Jewish roots, it was given to me exactly biblically how it came into account. And a matter of fact, what we're talking about now, getting ready for the Feast of Tabernacles Sunday, it's in this time. In other words, the unexpected, this is the greatest time ever was, because the Feast of the Tabernacle is the Bible says a hundredfold return, but it actually means unlimited. So we are unlimited as remnant warriors in our personal lives, the anointing on our lives, in our lives, through our lives, that the things that be done will be beyond. In fact, the Lord had shown me many years ago, and it's really beginning to happen now. The biggest prayer that you and I and we all need to have is, Lord, keep this flesh intact, that I don't literally just explode. Just poof, go, because it's just so wonderful what God is doing. It's so amazing. It just literally blows your mind. It's so, so beautiful what He's doing. Such a privilege.
I know I stand in awe of what He's doing, and I know what you're saying is absolutely true. You know, I've also noticed that time itself is accelerating. It amazes me how fast time is going by right now. Even though we still have 24 hours in a day, it seems like it's being cut down to 12 hours. I don't know how to explain it. Huh?
My old pastor, he wasn't old, he was a good deal younger than me, but a number of years ago, I guess it's been maybe 20 years ago, he preached a sermon one time, and I've never forgot. He said, in these last days, you're going to see time accelerated, even though there's still 24 hours in the day and 60 seconds and a minute and so on. He said, it's just going to accelerate, because back when I was a kid, we used to think time was very slow. But now you can talk to kids. And they say, wow, it's going faster. Teenagers will say it, and I always sort of dragged through till I became at least 18 years old. So it's evident. But God, you know, people say, well, how can that be? Well, it's almost like saying, did God have a beginning? And, of course, we know it didn't. It'd blow your mind if you try to think of it. So all we can answer to time going like this, or God never having a beginning, which are both in the same caliber, God does it. However He does it, we just say, well, He's God. So therefore, it's like that, but we can't understand it because we don't have the equipment or the knowledge to understand what He is or anything about that. But it is so amazing. The years go by so quickly, and the time, and that's why we have to really redeem the time, like the Bible says, and do all we can do, because not just our ages, but Jesus is coming soon, and what we do now really counts. Amen.
Yes, I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, I have noticed that time's going by very, very fast. I tell people all the time that, God doesn't own a Timex. He doesn't own a Rolex. He owns time.
Yeah,
you know?
He is time.
He is time.
Just like God doesn't have healing. He doesn't have love. He is that. That's why, you know, he said, I am. Remember, he told Moses. And that simply meant if you need healing, I'm not healing. I am healing. I don't have it. I am it. So I am everything that there is that you need. I'm supplier of everything. That was the I am. I'm the complete package.
I agree with that. I tell people all the time. I said, what was God's name as told to Moses? I am. Not I was or I will be, but I am. Because he is the God of this very moment. And this one and this one and this one. And
He is what he is. And you know, he is. He says in his word in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, he's given us everything to life and godliness. So we don't have problems.
Yes, he has. He's given us everything we need.
He does. We don't have problems in our life. We just have challenges. A lot of people say, I have a problem. No, a problem a lot of people will sweep under their carpet. But we have challenges, and of course, he's given us the antidote, which is the word of God, to meet the challenges, you know, and everything. So therefore, there's nothing that we can be overcome by because the word of God covers it all. He supplied it. And I think what really grieves him, if we aren't using the word of God and receiving what he has done for us, because he didn't do that in vain. He did it for a purpose because he knew what you and I are going to be up against in the world. So he's given us that word to receive what he's already done. He's not going to do something for us. He's done it. All we do is go up to the table. Thank you, Lord. I receive your healing. Thank you. I receive your prosperity. I receive what you have. And, you know, after we receive something, a lot of times I make this a practice in my own personal life, and I teach this, is when you ask the Lord for something, we should always have this open anyhow, but especially then keep your spirit man open because it's instructions sometimes that we have to do before he's able to do that for us, to do that, leave us receive that. Because we sometimes have to change an attitude. Maybe there's something in our life we have to make a change. Maybe we have to do something. But many times we don't need the prayer of faith for healing. Sometimes it's just we might be at odds with somebody or something going on. I've seen that happen many times. Didn't even have to pray. Just speak the word, or somebody like a husband and wife would be in an argument and they'd be disagreeing about something. They asked me to come in to minister to the wife. And I've seen a woman one time and she was looked like she was just about dead. Went in there. Gwen to pray for. I was asked to Gwen. Went in, and I didn't get a chance to pray. I was just talking to both of them, and what God said to me brought those two together, and literally that woman looked from death to glory. I mean, her face looked like an angel, and she even told me the next day, she said she did twice the work that next day with the energy and joy that she's ever had in her life. And it was just a thing that blocked it. There's a blockage, you know, so the prayer isn't for healing all the time. It's to get the blockage out of the way, because if we have a right heart and we're in faith, it's going to happen, whether it happens right away or if we have to stand a period of time. But if we're standing in faith like that, it usually doesn't take very long for it to actually manifest into our lives.
That is so true. And I've also noticed, you know, I was kind of old school. I always believed there was certain things you had to do. God has proved wrong on that. I said, he's healed people before. It's amazing how many prayers I haven't said, and I've seen people get healed. I saw a man, we were up at a revival in Huntsville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And this old guy comes walking up the road, and he's limping really hard. Cussing like a sailor. I mean, he's just, every other word was taking God's name in vain. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, go talk to him, but be kind. I said, okay. And the Lord had just recently had told me I had to start looking at everybody through the eyes of Jesus. Easier said than done, because we're humans and we're a judgmental bunch, that's for sure. And I include myself in that, because what I saw was this disheveled man walking up, cussing and limping. And I went and talked to him for a few minutes, and he was angry. Somebody had stolen $50 from him, and he was just really angry. And I talked to him. The whole time my spirit was grieving because he was cussing. Like I said, you take my Lord's name in vain, that grieves my heart. But God said,
right.
So anyhow, the fellow went on down the road, still yelling and cussing, acting crazy. And 20 minutes later, Ed, he came back to the tent. And I looked at him and said, Lord told me you got one leg shorter than the other.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I do. I said, well, sit down. Let me take a look. And Ed, it was 6-7 inches. It was the most
difference
I've ever seen on anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen how to grow out legs before, but I'm talking 6-7 inches. That's a long shot there, you know.
What do you mean? I've had it, but not that long.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest I've ever seen. But anyhow, all I did is I took some anointing oil and I put one dot on his forehead. Evangelist Brown and I, neither one saw the miracle happen. But when we glanced back down, his legs were absolutely even.
Absolutely even.
I was like, wow. Not one word of prayer was spoken.
It blows your mind.
It did blow my mind. And then what really blew my mind was a week later, Evangelist Brown called me up. He said, you remember that guy we didn't pray for? I said, how am I ever going to forget that? He said, well, he came back. He said he came back dressed properly, in his right mind, walking normally, and he came back to praise God and to worship.
That was a sovereign work of God right there. Praise God. The best sermons we preach, we don't preach.
It taught me a lesson, because what Jesus saw was the man who came back. What I saw was a crazy, angry man.
That's it.
I wasn't looking at him through the eyes of Jesus.
Yes. Taught me a lesson. Amen. That reminded me of an experience. It just came back to me. I haven't thought about this for quite a while. But we went to the Church of God at one time. We were a member there many years ago. And I was an evangelist, and I didn't have churches in the stores and everything, but I was, you know, evangelist. And anyhow, there was a young man coming to speak at the church. He was a Kenneth Hagin graduate, you know, from Rhema Bible College. Well, anyways, the lady had a daughter there. Her feet were club feet. I mean, they were way out. They were stretched to the right, way out there. It was obviously the nose in your face. So she asked me to pray for her daughter. That was before it began, you know. But I said, no. I said, let's wait till service, till after service, and everything. And if service goes long, because they're going to be praying and things like that, so I just felt not to do it then. So anyhow, the young evangelist or young minister, he preached there. And afterwards, don't ask me how this happened. I honestly don't remember to this very day. But somehow I got up front there. This is my church that I went to, but I wasn't the pastor there. I didn't have the service that night. But somehow I wound up front there. And the Lord had me do something, and this isn't something you would practice unless the Lord did it. But the pastor was there, the young man was there, and I was there. And I said to him, I said, I don't want anybody to touch this lady unless they believe God's going to do it before our very eyes. And boy, the pastor backed up there, and the young man stood there. He was pretty firm. But the pastor backed up, and the people were leery, and they didn't really want to go forward. So nobody actually touched her. But what happened, she came up for the young lady, and I laid my hands on her, and the devil said, you fool, all these people around here, surrounded here, you're going to look like a fool for everybody, you know. So I put my hands on her, and the young evangelist put his hand on my shoulder and prayed the prayer of faith. And I tell you, man, when it opened our eyes, those feet were as straight as my feet right now, or your feet, and boy, the crowd just roared. They just went, you know, wild, you know. But you know, something had happened there that it'll blow your mind, and I've never had this happen before. Everybody saw it. Her daddy saw her feet, and the people saw it. It was obvious, but the mama didn't see it. She did not see it. And that woman actually was a hindrance to that young lady, because she was speaking negativity in her. And I don't know if I think she might have lost that healing. I'm not sure. I hadn't seen him in many years. But it was healing, and that was I've never seen that happen. I've seen people healed of cancer, and a church I was in that really didn't believe as we do. And to make a long story short, God had healed the man. We went down to pray in the veterans hospital. He was a veteran. And I knew he wasn't ready to receive the prayer of faith. My wife and I went in there, so we ministered to him for a period of time, and then he got to the place he was ready. We prayed the prayer of faith with him there, and he received his healing. He was healed of cancer, and we went back to the church, and he was giving the testimony and this happy smile all over his face. But I knew the pastor and a few of them talked him out of it. And there's been a couple, you know, bad situations like that. But yet God does so much, and so many times, you know, we have to be so careful the company we keep or who are people around, because it's one thing to receive it, it's one thing to maintain it. When you're receiving healing on your own, believing God, it's easier for you to do that because you realize it. But if you're with a gift of healing that's operation through the evangelist or whatever happens in some time in the whole audience where healing is just manifest, you receive it, and you have to know how to maintain it. Matter of fact, there's a scripture, and I'm sure you know this one. I don't know if I ever shared with you about it, but a lot of people don't know this scripture. Nahum 1:9 says, "This affliction will not return for a second time." That's a promise. In other words, you're healed of a cancer, you're healed of something. If that thing comes back, it's a lying symptom anyhow. It's always a lying symptom because sometimes the symptoms come back. But actually, that's a promise. He said, "This affliction will not return for a second time." So that's a promise that we can claim if we're healed and the enemy tries to bring sickness upon us again or return it or make it look like we weren't healed.
That is true also. I've seen it happen.
Yes.
In fact, there are several people I pray for. They get healed, and it seems like a month or two later, they're asking me to pray again for the same problem. I'm like, my first thought is, what are you doing?
Who are you with?
Who are you hanging with? What's going on here, you know?
Yeah,
but,
that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, I still end up praying for him again. I did this morning. But, you know, I think the coolest part, I have absolutely seen, sensed, I feel it happening. I told my wife just the other day, I said, something has shifted.
Yes, sir. Because yes, it has.
Now I know. There's no more what if nothing happens thinking. There's no more chicken line for me.
No.
And I also believe that goes across the board, not just with healing, but also with him supplying our needs according to his riches and glory. I have felt a shift. I told the College of Bishops on Tuesday night, I said, I'm going to tell you straight up, I know that God is about to change my situation. I know it. I don't know how I know it, but deep down inside, I know it. It's no longer I'm faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It's beyond that. You know,
well,
I just
know.
And I have no problem proclaiming it and professing it because I know it's true. I'm expecting it. I'm already seeing certain things happening. I'm not one of those preachers who are I'm just not a man of God that puts up, you know, PayPal me now or Cash App. I don't believe in asking people for money. I know a lot of people do it. I'm not judging anybody who does it. But I have learned a long, long time ago that God is my source. I've learned to put my hands up and not out. And over the years, he has proven that correct, you know.
He does, and that's increasing nowadays. I mean, you know, people give to you, you minister to them. I'm seeing that happen now. And, you know, something I'll say to you about this is so true. When I go to speak somewhere, whether I'm on a program like, you know, like your program or if I'm on, you name the programs, the bottom line for me, I know when I'm on there, things happen. I mean, like Paul said, I know when I come, there's going to be a blessing. God is going to move, and I have that confidence in God, not in me. Not in me at all. I have no confidence in me. But the God in me, you just know the God in you. And you know what it's like. You're actually bringing out a little bit of a sermon that I had prepared, on entering into the rest of God. And you know what the rest of God actually means? You know, entering into the rest of God, it's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, 1 through 11. But the definition of this, just you struck it when you said a certain thing. It just kind of told me what it was. The rest of God is simply this. It's a profound peace that God gives to those who love and obey him, regardless of circumstances. It is peace that involves the whole faculty, as the Bible teaches. Therefore, reckon ourselves dead, which is when a dead man's dead, no more things with him. And what's happened is when we enter into that rest, it says into the entire faculty, that means spirit, soul, and body. We have complete trust and rest in the Word of God for everything, that nothing will move us, no circumstance or anything. And along with having that rest in the Lord, boldness comes in there, because you see, when you have rest in God, when you talk about the things of God, you are very bold. You talk, hey, they happen. That's it. God does this. God does that. You're bold, and you can't help but be bold when you're in his rest, because you know he's for real. It's not just something we're hoping and praying. We know in our knower, you see. We know it's happening, and that's increasing in us because it must increase. It's like the gift of faith in operation. When the gift of faith is in operation, you can't doubt. You can't possibly doubt if you want to. And then when you come off the gift of faith, then you get back to where you're at. And a lot of times it's through that gift of faith in operation, many things will happen. But there's an escalation in faith right now and belief, and in that rest is taking us to a realm that we're going to be more, have more fruits, more victories, more people saved, healed, delivered. We're going to be more effective witnesses than we were in the past. In fact, the Lord told me something here. And I used to stand at the pulpit, and I didn't do this trying to be humility for pride. You know, some people say this for pride. But I got up there and I said, you know, and I've seen phenomenal things in the 50 years that I've known the Lord. The bottom line was, I said, you know, I haven't seen nothing yet. And I actually believed that and meant it, because knowing in my spirit what lied ahead, I haven't seen nothing yet, Lord. Well, one day we were walking into a church, my wife and I, we hadn't been there before, and there was a prophet there, and I never knew the man or saw the man before. He walked up to my wife and I, and he didn't say hello or anything. He said, the Lord told me to tell you, he pointed his finger, he said that you haven't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. Then he gave me that scripture that I shared with you in Habakkuk 1:5, you know, about we wouldn't believe if he told us. And then I've had lately a man called me last night and said that. Then I was on a prayer line and ministered to an intercessor, had prayer lines every day. She's involved with that, but she had a major situation happen in her life, and she had a problem with it, and the Lord set her free. So she asked me to be on a program and had a chance to share. And I have noticed in the lives of the people that are being set free, and these truths, he's showing us things that we haven't seen before. I mean, it's a humbling thing to see it, because it shows me, and I know you're going to say amen to this, it shows me how he does it all and we do nothing, because all we are is along for the ride. I feel involved, but I don't feel even involved, because it flows through you. I mean, you're not, you know it's nothing of you. And it's a humbling thing, you know. Some people think, oh boy, I'm this, that. No, it's not of God if you have that attitude, because it humbles you when you're in that there, because it doesn't happen unless you're humble anyhow. Because when we have our two cents in there, the Lord says, well, you're going to have to do it. But when we get out of it completely, that's when the miracles start and the signs follow. If we have a right heart, you know. And I was thinking about that this morning in bed before I got out of bed, just thinking about that. And if we're where we are, the Word actually, signs do follow the believers, you know, but the problem, signs haven't followed because people are not preaching the Word, don't have the right heart, they aren't believing God. It's just kind of a head knowledge thing of quoting it, but not actually believing it and receiving it.
Well, I got to agree with that. It's people are walking around with a religious spirit. They don't have a true relationship with Jesus. That is a requirement. You have to have a relationship with Jesus that's intimate and pure. And then he will use you. You know, every day I volunteer. God, whatever you put in front of me, that's what I want to do.
Give it my daily bread, yes.
And there's times there was one time I said, even if I don't want to do it, Lord, I'll do it. and one night. Well,
amen.
He'll test you on that. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I was laying in bed. It was late. I did not want to get up and come back out to my office, and this girl called and said she needed prayer, and I didn't want to deal with her. You know,
I knew what you meant.
I was tired. I was in bed. I was laying there watching TV with my beautiful wife, and I did not want to do it. But as I said, I didn't want. As soon as I said I didn't want to do it, the Lord said, "But you said." Even if you didn't want to do it. And I said, yes, I did. I got up, came out to my studio, called that woman. She got healed, you know.
Amen.
And
yeah.
So,
amen.
You know, you do what he tells you to. That's what it comes down to.
Amen. When we say something like that, like my wife and I, and she just recently, well, she's been saying that about, Lord, whatever you want done this day. I mean, different things come up at the most inopportune times, crazy things, you know, will happen. But, you know, through experience, and I know you've learned this too, you know, nothing on this program started right today. In other words, I couldn't get on. I had my earphones on, wanted to do the earphones. You know, we had everything, and it all went backwards. But God... you and I are talking now. God is doing something through this today with people. I don't know what it is, but he's doing something through it because what's happened, you know, it isn't the way that we thought it was going to go, the way it's going to happen. And a lot of people, sometimes they get upset about that if it doesn't go the way they had planned. But when you commit something to God, he might just do the very opposite of what was planned right there, what you have ready, because he sees something else that needs done. And that's what I always do. I pray, Lord, what do you want this time, this service? Because he knows what's needed, and I don't know unless he actually tells me. And the thing is, we avail ourselves. And lately I have found, you said watching television, I might be looking a little TV at nighttime there, and a call come in, maybe three or four in a row, and they aren't short calls. We had three-hour calls, two-hour calls, hour calls, and from the neediest most, I talked to a woman the other night. I can't go into details because some of the things I would say wouldn't be appropriate. Not bad, but this woman, and I mean, I don't know anybody that went through any more in this world other than Lord himself has experienced what she's experienced. I mean, there isn't anything, and I've never heard it. It's almost unbelievable, the testimony. Remember the time you and I will get to talk, I can share it with you. I won't speak it online. But what she's been through, when the time came for my wife and I to pray for her right there, I said, Lord, help me, because sometimes it's almost like you're going up against a giant, which it is. So anyhow, we prayed for her, and, of course, God delivered her because she had a situation. But then here we didn't know it, but she had been examined for cancer. She was identified with cancer in her body, metastatic cancer in her organs or something. And she came back and got a report from the doctor and called us up, and she said, they said I had cancer. My wife said, well, listen, we prayed with you after the fact right there. You had that test before we prayed for you. And we reminded her of that. And she said, oh, okay. Then she went back to the doctors. And this woman had miraculous faith for a woman of what she's been through and the way she talks, you would never believe by her voice. And she went back there, and she called us back, and she said, guess what? What? No cancer. Because that night, he not only delivered her, but he healed her body of that cancer and that horrible stuff that's within her. And that's what's so cool about it, because, you know, a lot of times there might be a thing that you're focused on. I mean, I've even had times in a revival, you know, you'd be ministering, and a lady would bring somebody up for prayer. And anyhow, I was praying, this had been a number of years ago also, and prayed for this lady that she brought up with her need. But here the lady that brought her up didn't say any need about herself. And she contacted me about a week after that revival. She said, you know something? She said, I don't know if you remember me or not. But she said, I brought a lady up for you to pray for her. And, of course, I didn't remember the number of people up there. But she said, right. Well, listen, she said, I've been barren. I've been barren for years, and I'm pregnant. And I just found out when the doctor, but it appeared a few weeks, I guess, after that. And I've seen a number of barren women that, Lord, you know, they were childbearing, I think, about three times maybe, something like that. So my wife and I have been used for people who want to have children, have babies, you know, we've seen that happen. And this some things that are unexpected. And in fact, you get calls, I know, too, that people you forgot about, didn't remember it. And they say, you know, you prayed for me and I had blah, blah, blah. I don't remember it, you know, and they'll say that they were healed. And that's such a blessing, because just to know that you're a vessel used of God to do His bidding, there isn't anything greater. That is a big bit of heaven on earth, a big part of heaven on earth for us. I mean, it doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better.
I live for it. It's the breath of my life. I live to serve God. The remarkable thing about it is it's a lot of fun. I have a blast serving God. It's fun to watch Him do miracles. It's fun to see Him set people free. I'm humbled.
Excuse myself.
That's my better half. That's my wife there.
Well, come on
Hello,
in here.
Hello, Brother
Ken.
Talk
to us.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Yes, I was just listening to, I'm listening to your conversation, and the lady he was talking about, that, you know, we prayed after she got the diagnosis. One thing that I said to her, because when she was telling us all the things that she was going through, I said, first of all, you need to have forgiveness. Anybody that has done you wrong, you need to forgive, and then you need to forgive yourself. And I said, the second thing of what you're telling me and all that you've been through, I said, you have family and generational curses. Mm-hmm. I said, curses is sickness, disease, infection, viruses, addictions, afflictions, anything in that realm. I said, it needs to be broken off of you. I said, then we can pray for your prayer request.
Yes.
So I shared that with her. I said, remember when we prayed? I said, we broke those curses. And I said, that doctor's report was in the past. I said, because we broke those curses, I said, you no longer have cancer. And so Ed got back on the phone with her, and she said, you know, your wife said something. And he said, what's that? She said, the curse of cancer has been broken. She says, I can do this. She got so excited. And then she called right as she got out of the doctor's and said, no cancer. I said, praise the Lord. And so anyhow, but the other thing I wanted to say, yesterday I was listening to some music on YouTube, and I came across this song, Raise a Hallelujah. And the man that wrote this song, you know it? Okay. The man that wrote this song, I don't know if it was his pastor or whatever, but their child was taken to the hospital seriously sick, and it was on Christmas. It was around Christmas. So the whole church got together and was praying, believing with faith. And a couple days later, the father called this gentleman, and he said, the news is not good. And he said at that moment, he said, the demonic force of unbelief, of fear, of doubt stood in front of me. And he said, that's when this song dropped in my spirit. And it says, I just want to, because I know you got a listening audience, I just wanted to read a little bit of the song. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. So when you're praying for sickness, and like you said, this lady called you back and she needed a double portion of prayer for her healing. A lot of times that spirit, that demonic force of unbelief and doubt and fear comes over you and you don't know how to take care of it. Well, get a song in your heart. Get a melody in your heart and start singing it. It's like the Lord dropped a song about a week or so ago, and I'm not a singer. I do not sing. And we were on the telephone with this lady Ed was telling you about that had these prayer meetings. And the Lord had me sing this song over the airwaves. And then we were talking to somebody in Pakistan, Pakistan. And as we were ministering to them, the Lord said, sing it to them. And they got so happy. And so it's important because music is a melody from heaven. Whether you can sing or not, it is healing to your bones. So I just want to share that with you and just praise the Lord with you guys. And I just thank you for hearing me and for letting me interrupt you. And you just go with your conversation. God bless you both.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You know what's amazing
is
I woke up with that song in my head this morning.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See how God
straight up.
Because
that was in my head when I woke up.
I've been sitting here and I've been saying, I don't want to interrupt them. I don't want to interrupt them, but it's very important because, you know, this is something, especially when you have people, and I know we've prayed for people and they haven't been able to seem to receive their healing. And it's like, you know, that spirit, they've had it so long and they just can't believe, you know, to have that faith that they need. And so it says, we sing hallelujah in the presence of our enemies. And that heaven is fighting for us. So I just thank God. You know, that was confirmation, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad I was obedient.
As soon as
I
admitted it to you, I got those tinglies on the top of my head.
Praise God. Praise God.
So, you know,
it is. Jesus.
There's a message in that song. You know, there really is.
There is. That's why I reposted it. And what I reposted, it has the lyrics. Because a lot of times people just go by the melody. They don't listen to the words. And the words are so – there's so many songs that have absolutely awesome, heaven-filled words that will heal your bones. I mean, it's amazing. But this song, it just jumped all over me, and I thought, wow. And then I'm thinking about the ones that haven't received their healing. And there's one lady that we've been – I've been standing for, and I know Ed has too, and she has an autoimmune disease. And this autoimmune disease has really, I mean, she gets big sores in her mouth, her joints, she can hardly walk, she can hardly talk, she can hardly eat, even drink water. And I'm thinking, and she's a woman of God. She is a woman of God. Her husband has been a pastor. He has went through cancer. He has went through heart disease. You name it. The devil is just out to destroy this couple. And so I've been standing as, you know, intermediate for them. And I just thought, they need this song. They just need this song and get these words down in their heart.
You know,
so,
this lady at my wife's talk about, we went to the same church for a while together, four of us. And to make a long story short, I'd prayed different times for her, and she was healed of asthma through prayer and several things. And then, of course, we hadn't seen them for a long time. We don't go to that church anymore. They don't know. I'd helped the pastor work in that church a little while. But they've been in this situation. And, you know, I think really what it is, this song helps us ministers a lot because we have adverse things come against us. When they come, you might feel, wow, overwhelmed. But then that hallelujah brings you back to the place because it can rock you for a little bit. But what happens to a lot of people when they're sick? They learn to live with it, and they become complacent. They're no longer fighting it. And the kingdom of God suffers violence. Violence must take it by force. So we have to be forcefully believing and standing and not allowing that thing to be in our bodies to receive it, you know, not to actually go to bed with it and relax and, oh, it's part of me, it's part of my being. And that's been a problem, you know, with people. They become complacent. Then a lot of people have heard things, but they don't believe them. You know, they don't see what's going on. But one thing you really have to do before you pray, and I'm glad my wife said that right there. I usually bring it up, but I didn't, and she mentioned it. First of all, we have to have a right heart, because John 9:31 says, God heareth not the prayer of a sinner, but worshipeth him, you know, worshipeth him and does his will. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the word says in Isaiah 66:18. Won't hear my voice. So we have to be right in our hearts, you know, and that's something. Or unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a big thing. And when we're right like that, it has to happen, or otherwise the Bible's not true. And we need to take it seriously. Lord, it spoke to me some time ago, and a big thing with God is not taking his word seriously. We say we believe it, but we actually show our actions, show that we don't believe it. Our mouth says one thing, but our heart's far away, like the Israelites were back in the day. And we have to do that. And one more thing, I want to say it, I don't want to take too much of the conversation, but something has been on my heart more than winning souls for Christ, and which is the main thing, but it's in the same caliber as that is, and it's not, you know, it's a thing of the church that people are not ready for the rapture. We want to win souls outside of church. People have not been saved, but we have people that knew the Lord. And sometimes maybe just head north, sometimes they might have genuinely what they're doing, but they're no longer rapture ready. And Lord, it put that on my heart. And I think that's why a lot of times I'm ministering to those like that in that place, and also sinners too that have never been saved. But the body of Christ has fallen away, and the Lord has just impressed my heart, and I examine myself to make sure I'm ready and make sure that I'm doing right and being right, because this rapture is more serious than it's taken by a lot of people. A lot of people have accepted the Lord years ago and no longer really involved with things of God, barely read their Bible, not really concerned. Well, I accepted Jesus years ago, so come Jesus, I want to go. Well, they're not going to go because they're not going to hear the voice of God. If we're not hearing his voice now, if we're not serving him and mean business with him, we're not going to hear that voice, you know, and that's where people are missing it. There's a false hope when you're not serving God, just in the realm of, hey, I asked Christ into my heart, but are you really living for him now? Is he first place in your life? Do you love him? It doesn't mean you're perfected in everything you do, but it means that you're connected with him. But if you're distant from him and it doesn't mean much and you're more concerned with things in the world and you're involved there and you lay everything else aside, God will not take second place. And that's what God has laid in my heart, that I really watch myself first of all. That's the first thing when I get to, you know.
I know he is bringing the prodigals back. I know that he is waking people up. You know, people talk about the great awakening coming. It's already happening. I see more and more every day of people returning to Christ. I had a young lady not too long ago. She professed herself as a Christian. And I asked her, I says, if you die tonight, do you know where to destination? Do you know you're saved? And she says, no, I don't know for sure. So I said, let's pray that prayer of salvation. And she got saved and she got healed. And since we're mentioning salvation, every program, I always want to give the opportunity for those who don't know Jesus to know Jesus. And Ed, I'm going to ask you to invite people into the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. We're going to do that. You want to do that right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Right now, we're going to pray a prayer. Prayer is for, first of all, if you don't know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, that's the most important thing you can do, is come to him. And if you know him and you've backslid from him, became a prodigal, to return back to him, we're praying that. And for any other need, the anointing that's on this program, for any need that you have from the Lord, whether you need to understand something, you need to do something, or you just don't know what way to go, right now, I want you just to draw from the anointing, because the anointing destroys the yoke. It's not by power of might, but by my spirit. We mightn't have said anything today that really struck you in our words, but by the Spirit of God, he's going to minister to you now. But first of all, we're going to pray the prayer of faith for you to be saved if you don't know Jesus. And I want you just to repeat these words, but mean them in your heart. Mean them in your heart, because you can say the words, but mean them. And if you mean these words, you're saved, okay? All right. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you now.
Come to you now.
I know that I am a sinner.
I know that I am a sinner.
And I believe Jesus died for my sins.
And I believe Jesus died for my sins.
He was buried.
He was buried.
And resurrected for me.
Resurrected for me.
And you told me that if I ask him to forgive me.
You told me if I ask him to forgive me.
And come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
He will save me.
He will save me.
He said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So right now, Lord, as you told everybody, those people, that I want you to repeat after me right now. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I receive you, your son Jesus, as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you, your son Jesus, as my Lord and Savior.
And Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
I am saved.
I am saved.
And I give myself to you completely. Take over my life.
I give myself to you completely. Take over my life.
For me to live from this day forth.
for me to live from this day forth
is you.
Is you.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit, Lord.
With your love.
With your love.
And now, Lord, I thank you.
And now, Lord, I thank you.
I am saved.
I am saved.
I'm filled with your spirit.
Filled with your spirit.
And from this day forth.
And from this day forth.
I call myself a child of God.
I call myself a child of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
Heavenly
thank
Father.
You, thank you, Lord.
I have known you as Lord and Savior.
I've known you as Lord. Okay.
Okay. I come back to you this day, Lord.
I come back to you now.
And Father, forgive me.
Father, forgive me.
For what I have done.
For what I've done.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
And Lord, right now I receive that forgiveness.
Lord, right now I receive that forgiveness.
Like nothing has ever happened.
Like nothing has ever happened.
And I am brand new in Jesus.
I'm brand new in Jesus.
And I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That I'm making you my Lord and Savior.
That I'm making you my Lord and Savior.
And I will follow you from this day forth.
And I will follow you from this day forth.
Until I leave this earth.
Until I leave this earth.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you. And those Amen. Out there right now that need healed in their minds, if you're disturbed in your mind about anything, if you don't have peace, you can't sleep, you're worried about something, you're fearful, finances, you're afraid that you're going to die, that you're going to be beat up, you're going to be hurt, if your sickness in your body, whatever it is, God's word said in Psalms 107:20 that he sent his word to heal us and deliver us from all things that are trying to destroy us. Everything is trying to destroy us. So right now, in this prayer right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to release the anointing. Brother Ken and I are going to release the anointing of healing to you right now for your spirit, soul, or your body, whatever area. It's going to be a completeness for you, whatever area. It might be something we didn't even think about or mention. But in the name of Jesus Christ right now, release this anointing. We release this anointing into you right now in the name of Jesus. Receive this anointing in you. Receive this right now because by his stripes you are made whole. You are made whole. Believe that you receive it. The thing that you believe in your heart, you will receive. The thing that you desire in your heart, believe that you receive and they will manifest. And I speak and declare forth miracles right now, miracles in the lives of people. Even the unexpected things are happening now, the unexpected things you didn't even expect, you didn't even ask for, but it's just happening to you that you didn't even realize it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
You are more than conquerors.
Wow,
yes, Lord.
The hour has gone way too fast. We were talking about accelerating time. Well, this hour flew by, that's for sure.
Oh, my.
And we're out of time.
Yes.
We did have a caller, but unfortunately we don't have time to go to the caller right now. But I want to thank you. Your last four digits of your phone number is 0645. Tell you what, I'll give you 30 seconds. If you have any comments, go ahead and comment now, but we are running out of time. Last four digits. Hi.
Okay.
Go ahead, honey.
Hey, I just was asking for some prayer for my business.
Okay.
Okay, prayer for what? I didn't catch that.
Her business.
Father, a business.
Okay,
Father,
okay.
Increase her wisdom. Increase her territory. I put the prayer of Jabez over this young woman right now, in Jesus' mighty name, that you will give her the wisdom, the knowledge, and the direction that she needs so she can prosper with the work of her hands. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.
Yes, amen. He's directing
your steps.
I would love to
pray more, but we are out of time, unfortunately. Ed, I want you to come back. I know you will. You're a good man. This was a very good program, even with all the technical glitches we had early on. It's been a great program. But in the meantime, we got to go. God bless you all. Thank you so very, very much for listening today. We do appreciate you. Be blessed.
Amen.
And be blessed.
You have been listening to The Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to The Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.